Inspiration Nation, hello, Lee Kemp here once again for another week on the podcast. As always, with my very good chums, Ryan Boniface and Joe Neuer. How are we, guys?
Yeah, not bad, thank you.
Yeah, good, thanks, Lee.
You're doing your radio thing again, Joe, where you're like, yes, thank you, I'm fine, after like a 30-second delay.
As Ryan said, it's a foreign correspondence, right?
Exactly, that's exactly what it is. Glad you are both good. Thank you everyone for listening and watching. Thank you for joining us on Instagram. Just follow Joe, Jose Neuer, Inspiration Nation, and of course check us out on social media at Listen2IN, Listen2IN. We're of course on YouTube and across all podcast platforms. So I'm taking a hit here to get my topic in for the week. So we're on our weird of picking the topics. I want to elaborate, carry on, springboard, however you want to say it, off the back of topic on last week's show. If you've not heard it, guys, just go back in the archive, give it a listen, episode 118. But because I'm basically just elaborating on the conversation that Ryan had, they are the words I'm looking for in the right order, I'm then going to take a hit and do a subject again next week. But I feel this is worth talking about, so I want to do it. So this week's topic is, I don't care. And there's a few things I want to build on from this in terms of the conversation. Ryan, you talked last week about your not caringness. In fact, we went on and had a really good, probably another 15, 20 minute conversation after the podcast that would have made a good little mini bonus episode in itself, I think. But having reflected on last week's conversation, Ryan, do you want to kind of share your I don't care mindset with the nation?
Yes. It's hard to put it, or hard to articulate it very well, because as I said last week, I'm not sure I fully understand it myself, but I just have this overwhelming belief that I just don't care about much. There are certain things I do care about, certain people, certain things, certain hobbies, whatever. There are certain things I do care about, but for the most part, I think I just couldn't care. It just doesn't bother me. And I don't know if that's a mixture of being young, as we kind of touched on last week, or if it's just a laid back, laissez-faire attitude to life, if you like. I'm not sure. But if there is, what I do find are the things that I do care about, the things I do believe in, I believe in really heavily. And there aren't many things that I'm like, meh, take it or leave it. I either just don't care, or I'm like fully in, if that makes sense. And I don't know if it's like a chemical imbalance, or a personality imbalance, or I don't know. I've never looked into it. But then I've never thought I'm abnormal. It doesn't come to me that it's abnormal, you know what I mean?
I've quite often thought you're abnormal, Ryan. So
abnormally amazing. I would have.
Well played. I've got some views on that, and I've been thinking about this since we were talking last week. But Joe, I just, before I waffle on a bit, wanted your view, partly on Ryan's view of not caring, but I suppose where you sit on that spectrum as well.
Of not caring?
Well, from not caring to super caring.
Okay. First of all, I was going to ask Ryan, and it's a question maybe you can take up in a minute, but what is it you deeply care about or believe in? Because that you said there's a couple of things, and I'd really like to know what they are. And I can see Lee. That's funny.
Myself, yes.
I love that. I love it. But I'm just trying to cast my mind back when I was Ryan's age, which was obviously, as you guys know, a very long time ago.
Back in the 1840s.
And I think, for me, I didn't have much self-awareness. I think Ryan's got a lot more self-awareness. Ryan, you've got a lot more self-awareness than I ever had. And I just went with it. I recount it when I was leaving school, I really didn't have any ambition. I just wanted to go into an office with a computer and a desk. That was the testament of my ambitions. I was just going with the flow. I just didn't really, All I do is just go with things. So I suppose when you're thinking about I don't care, did I really care? I just wanted to be, I suppose, just a good person. I think that was really was, and be kind as I could. And but I didn't really have any ambition. So what we class as ambition, in my view, I don't know. Is that because we care about things? You know, why are we doing inspiration? Because I want people to feel inspired off the back of this. So yeah, I think for me, I can see, I think when I was younger, and again, is it an age thing? We don't know. And I think when I was younger, I just was going with the flow with a lot of things. And as I've got older, I've become a bit more, just I suppose I've said it before, where I feel like I'm running out of time, and I want there's something to be left in the world that will be helpful. And one of my things is to be able to leave the world in a better place than when I arrived. So I believe this content, leaving it in the world, will be better. The world will be better for it when, you know, when I've gone, when we've all gone, right? And so there'll be something there for when I've actually referenced, you know, my daughter's better go see back at it, and you know, your family's better go and see back at it. And I think it's a really cool thing. We've got this technology. So that's my view on I don't care. I think I've got older, I've cared more as I've got older, which is really strange. Is it strange? I don't know. And I don't think, well, when you said abnormal, I don't think it is. I don't think there's anything that's what is normal, what is abnormal. I just think there's a perspective, and I think that's your perspective. But say my question to you would be, what are the things, you know, the few things that you really do care about or really believe in or go in depth into? I think that's what you're saying.
My job is one. I take that really seriously, because I think that's an investment in myself. And that's something that I care about, because not just because I should, and that's what society tells you to do, is, you know, get a good job and work hard at it and things like that, but because I think I actually, for some strange reason, enjoy what I do. If you know this sector we work in, you'll know that's a crazy statement to make. But it may be more of the fact of the people that I'm surrounded by in that job as well. I may enjoy it. Whilst I enjoy the job, I may enjoy it slightly less if the network of people that were there weren't. And I'm not just talking about Lee before his ego goes mad, but I know. But you could argue he is part of it. Yes, because he is part of the fabrication of that place. Would I enjoy it less if all of the people that I've kind of built a network with left? More than likely, but I think that's the same with most places, right? But I don't think it would cause me to leave because all these other people left. I wouldn't flock somewhere else just because somebody left, not unless they paid me a lot more money to go with them and headhunted me with them. No, but I mean, work is a big one because I do that every day. So I think that's always one that's going to crop up big. I like video games. I like my own company. Family, something that I care about deeply, but I think that's pretty standard. Some sports. While maybe I don't play football, I care a lot about football, but I do play a lot of pool and snooker, as we've discussed before. I'm quite good at that.
I should say as well, just to the audience, that Ryan's taken a big sacrifice, because as we record this, England are playing football and Ryan was going to watch it, and he's even switched it off to focus. I say that, his eyes have just darted, so he might switch
it
back
on. I've not put it on.
So a big sacrifice. It's all leading somewhere, by the way. So what don't you care about?
I don't know. Current affairs. I'm a bit of a royalist. I'm a bit of a weird person. I like what happens in the royal family and things like that, but I don't care about, maybe this is because I'm introverted, but I don't care about coronavirus, COVID-19. Do not care in the slightest that we've had to stay inside for a year.
You've not left your house in 17 years, so it's not made a
difference.
That's it.
But then that could be because I have introverted tendencies. If we had to stay inside for another year, would it be frustrating that I couldn't, that I have the choice of going out taken away from me? Yes, of course. But I don't care that much. Like, the fact that I can't go to the pub for a pint doesn't break my heart, or I couldn't for the past 12 months doesn't
make me angry at the world and the government and places like that for stopping me from doing so. It just is what it is a lot of the time. Like, okay, that is just, that's life. There's nothing I can do about it. What other things are pretty big? I'm quite into politics, but it doesn't necessarily bother me so much that the side of the politics spectrum I sit on isn't in power. A lot of the time, I'm very much of the opinion that my vote doesn't really matter. I live in a county in which there's only one constituency in the entire county that is not conservative. So my area of the world, my vote quite literally does not matter at this stage, because that literally will not change anything. It's not the case that it's like a 40-60 split. It's like an 85-15 split. So like, quite literally my vote doesn't matter, and that's fine. Like, 'cause I don't care. A lot of people would be up in arms about that and say that it's, you know, the voting process and the election process is wrong and all of these other things. But, I don't care about television. Lee will tell you I didn't watch any of the Marvel films, and I've only started recently watching them.
Very proud of you for getting into them, though. Like my proudest moment.
I'm getting there with them. I've watched.
I've always dreamt of the day I'd sit down with my boy and watch Marvel films, and look, here we are now.
What I'm up to? I think I've watched. What one's after Thor? Ragnarok.
I kind of remember now.
Oh. That might have been the last one I watched. So, yeah.
No, that's good. And the reason, and I'm digging on this with you, because I think, well, I'll get to the bit in a minute. So I'll ask you another question, because I think there's a lot of people who will share your mindset and probably view it the same way you do. And some people who are outside of it who I actually think might get some real value for thinking about this way of thinking. But what's your perception of me or Joe? Do you think we care? Because you almost justify not caring, which makes me think you perceive that we do care.
I think not outside of YouTube, but just people that aren't me. A lot of people have a lot of opinions on a lot of different things that I just don't have. People parking on double yellow lines, people parking an inch across your drive that people moan about on social media all the time. Donald Trump being president of the United States, North Korea being troublesome. Like, a load of people have a load of opinions on things that really don't matter to them. And yes, they will have opinions on things that matter to the maybe the human rights aspects of the world, how things are in third world countries, in areas where there are dictators and problematic things that exist in the world. Of course, I accept that people should have opinions on those things because they have detriment to other people. But there are a lot of things that people have opinions on that just life's, I feel like life's just too short. Like, who cares that Bob from number 52 has parked an inch over the space that he shouldn't have done? Or who cares that Morrison's have put up the price of lemonade by 37 pence? Like,
what?
Who, like,
37 pence?
People complain about this. And I know it's, for want of a better phrase, different strokes for different folks and things like that. I get that. But that just isn't me. Like, if I go into a shop and my lemonade's a bit more expensive, oh, well, that's life. I'll still get it. If I don't have the money, okay, that's life. I won't get it. I'm not going to go up in arms about it. And maybe that's because I've grown up in a social media generation. I would class myself as a mixed generation where the first 12-13 years of my life was very pre-social media, and everything since is the early stages of social media. And maybe it's that, where people now have the full freedom of speech to put whatever opinion they want on whatever platform they want, and I have to absorb that as a user of that platform. Excuse me. Maybe that's what it is, and maybe I'm just seeing loads of opinions on things. I just think, get over yourself. And it's just made me think by return that all these people are crazy with their opinions. I don't know.
It's really interesting. I am glad we dug into this, and And I'll give you a bit of perspective on me and my caring, and then kind of wrap it up a bit. So I was thinking about this the other day, just because it's coming up to exam time of year. So there's loads of stuff in the papers about the stress of exams and this, that, the other, and you know, people I speak to in work are kids of that age, and how they talk about it. And I remember back when I did my GCSEs, as was back in the day. Probably, is it still GCSEs? I don't know.
You didn't do O-levels?
I did them. No, I did not do O-levels. They were way before my time, Grifster. And I remember people, you know, you wait in the hall outside before your exam, and people were nervous as F. And I remember people actually questioning me as to why I wasn't worried. And I genuinely was not worried. I was far too laid back. I would say I didn't revise for a single exam.
So
I've got a string of straight C's, but I wasn't anxious. I wasn't worried before that. In fact, one of them went down to, there's a friend who lived about a 10-minute walk from school down the road named Adam, and went down to his house between exams to get some lunch and stuff. And we started, can't remember what we were doing. I think I was playing a game on a computer. He was watching something on TV. And we suddenly realized, like, crap, there is 8 minutes till our next exam, and we had to run all the way. And I was just worried about not getting in through the door, but that was probably the most stressful thing of it. I didn't, in a nick in your way, Ryan, I didn't care, but it didn't affect me. I look back now and I think, God, if I'd have revised, I could have done really well, but I did okay. I did what I needed to do to get into college. This was up until about 30, I did okay was kind of like the story of my life. Where I do, and if stuff interests me, I get involved, but I do have to get involved. But I just wasn't worried. And then when I was doing office work, early 20s, I remember sitting next to someone who had really strong opinions about stuff. And at the time, I had no opinions on anything. I just, things were what they were. And I was like, wow, he's really got some opinions. Maybe I should have some opinions. And I kind of emulated that behavior, and I got very strong opinions about stuff because people around me had very strong opinions about stuff. And then over the last 10 years or so, I now have less strong opinions. I have views. I see how I think, for example, you know, we're in a situation with lockdowns in this country where when, you know, there's news today speculating about what's going to happen, which actually is what a few months ago I was thinking myself might happen, but I didn't feel the need to broadcast this to everybody. And I say this because a bit similar to your politics, Ryan, I think I have an awareness and I have views, but I don't necessarily need to tell everyone that that's my view. And if they have a different view, that they're wrong. Same way as you, care about job, care about things. But actually, from a stress perception, it's funny. I was having a conversation last week with someone. I went out for a few drinks and we were both talking. And they had a similar thing where they were like, I don't really worry about much. And we kind of talked it through because we were at positions. Like, I'm at somewhere now. I've gone through life where I was, we talked about in previous episodes, up to my eyeballs in debt, things to worry about, how things can be taken care of, blah, blah, blah. I've got to a stage where I am by no means rich by any stage of the imagination. Liar. But I can also pay my mortgage and pay for my car and buy shopping, which actually for me, compared to where I was 10 years ago or 15 years ago, is a dream because all those stresses and those worries were there. And a lot of the other stuff, there's things that happen that I don't like or that are inconveniences or that I have to work around or something breaks or, you know, or things that happen that are just life. But I don't think, you know, I still got a roof over my head. I've still got food. I've still got my friends and my family. I still get into the same bed at night, turn off Family Guy, which is the greatest thing. And kind of my thing that's between them, and I've said to people before, is no matter what happens during the day, it always ends in that same place, which is like my comfort thing. Mm-hmm. And it could be something really good or it could be something really bad, but whatever it is, I end up back there again. So whatever it was, I've survived it and I get there, and tomorrow could be something good or bad or indifferent. And I say that because I think what I don't do, I don't worry about things, but it means doesn't mean I don't care. And I'd say the same with you, Ryan. I think there's, like you said, there's your job, there's things, there are things that you care about. But to nick a Joeyism, stuff that is outside of your circle of control, you don't let rule your life. So you've got an awareness of things, but you're not going to become you know, your life isn't ruined because Donald Trump is president of the United States. Nick, one of your examples before. Whereas I know other people who spend hours a day dedicated to reading stuff and posting stuff about topics like that, which is taking up a lot of energy that they're using for that and not on themselves, rather than, and you coined it earlier, and I really like the phrase when you talked about caring about your job, because you saw it as investing in yourself. And I think when it's stuff that is about you, as in positive stuff for you, I think you do care. I just think you don't get swept up in needing to have stuff that is outside of your control affect you whatsoever. And then this, I'd imagine, I was going to ask you earlier, say you were driving down the road and the front end of your car came off and the engine flew out and your car was broken. Where would that sit on your caring spectrum of things?
It'd annoy me more than anything because it's something to sort out.
But, and that's what I thought you'd say. And again, I don't think that's because you don't care, but it's. I think what you have is a really good ability to absorb and prioritise, isn't the word, rationalise stress. You give things their appropriate level of attention rather than letting small things completely derail what you're doing. And I think what you portrayed as a weakness is actually a strength, which is the point I wanted to get to with all of this.
Yeah. I always thought that I always believed that well, I do. I believe that I'm not immune to stress, but I don't think I've ever felt stressed. I think something that my dad always kind of bestowed into me is like, and it's a typical dad thing. And I'm sure the pair of you will know about it as well, but it's just like,
yeah, we got it from my dad books when we became dads.
What can you do about it when you're peed off about it? What are you going to do about it? Like what good is it being annoyed about the situation? Yeah. All right. Maybe take 30 seconds to a minute and be like, oh, FFS, what a donut. Or, you know, what a stupid situation, how annoying. And then you've had your minute or you've had your 30 seconds and you go, and this is what happens to me. I have that time and I go, oh, that's, you know, bloody annoying, or what a stupid person or situation.
You're doing brilliant with your holding back the swears.
I'm trying for Joe's sake. And then all of a sudden I'll just go, right, okay, how do I fix it? Or like, what do I do now? And I've always been able to do it. And it might be, I tell you what it might be is the fact that I used to work at McDonald's. We've spoken about this before, and I was a shift manager, and if there was ever a job that was going to get you stressful, that is it. Like if there's ever a job where you're looking after 35 people in one go, serving hundreds of people at a time, that's when, if something's going to go wrong in your head, like that's where it's going to go. If you're going to pop a fuse, it's then. And I never was like it then. I was just like, all right, cool, four people have phoned in sick, what can I do about it? Not a lot. How can I fix it? And I think I've just always had this pragmatic, I think the right adjective is pragmatic view of just.
Absolutely right. That's exactly what it is.
That is just, if you asked me to describe myself in three words, pragmatic would probably be first or second on that list. Hilarious would be the other one of the two. But pragmatic would be one of the three words I would use to describe myself if I was at one of those networking things. And they're like, well, how would you describe it? That would be what I would use. And I just think that I just maybe it is linked. Maybe it's just linked with the pragmatic nature that I have.
That's what it is. And I think that's why I wanted to talk through so you can see it. Because that's, for me, that's always my first word, no matter what. And I'm really proud of that. Is that, I think I talked about it last week, the whole life gives you lemons, make lemonade. And that is genuinely how I see things as well. And I see that in you and what you're saying. And I do think it's a strength. What I don't ever want you to hear you say again, Ryan, it's just to flippantly say that you don't care, because it's not true. I think you are doing yourself a massive disservice when you say that, because actually I think it's a huge strength that you can rationalize and compartmentalize things like you do. I definitely couldn't do that when I was your age. It's a skill I've learned later on. And I think that it is something that assists you greatly. And I think, and this is why I want to talk about it, because I think there are a lot of things. It's you know, we all have, like you said, we all have those moments where it's like, swear words, whatever, but the quicker you can get through that, the better it is. And I do believe be a pragmatic and corny phrase, but live and let live. And I think if you can truly embrace that, it makes you feel a lot happier. And it's back to, and I reference it all the time, Ryan, Joe, but that picture Evan Carmichael put up of the person walking in the rain, two people walking in the rain, one looking miserable, one looking happy and smiley. And I just, it is that you can make your situation what it is. And I think that's one of those things, is being able to absorb or deal with the stress and put it in its right place. But I don't think it's that you don't care, Ryan, and I don't want to talk about it, because I think there's lots of people who might be the same, and you don't have to feel the pressure, like I said, that I gave into. But you don't have to give in to the pressure of having an opinion because everyone else has an opinion whatsoever. Yeah. And not having one doesn't mean you don't care.
Yeah, maybe I was assessing the situation just off of face value, and this is probably one of the first times I've ever attempted to dig into the inner workings of my mind, if you want. Could write chapter and verse about it, I guess. but it's what you're saying probably isn't far off the money at all. I think you're probably right.
That's good. I appreciate you being really open about this stuff. And I think, you know, I hope for people listening and watching, it's been good, because what I want to delve into is I think a lot of people have this, and it's really easy to see other people. And like you said, you judge yourself against them or against presumptions of them. And then, I saw this person had really strong opinions, but then I kind of went too far in that view that, right, I've got an opinion, everyone has to hear it. And it just doesn't matter with a lot of the stuff. Let's not say you can't have opinions or get involved in conversations, but as I say, I don't think not forcing down people's throats is not caring, because I've seen what you do and the effort you put into things, and I think there is a lot of it there. You're doing it inwardly, which I think is a healthy and a constructive thing.
Yeah. I always come away from these conversations thinking I'm Superman.
You're at least Robin to my Batman. And Joe's Alfred.
I'm sure he'd take that.
Any further thoughts or comments from yourself, Alfred, on this?
Myself, I think it's, yeah, I think the thing what struck me about it was knowing about things that you can't control. Like, I think that for me is the key. It's,
yeah,
you know, and then I think the other thing was for me is like what I can do about it, and, you know, can you do anything about it? It's like, it's almost like decision tree. If I'm stressed about this,
yes.
You know, can I do anything about it? No. So why worry? If I can, what am I going to do?
I've often compared it to, like, what is it? Is it the seven stages of grief or the seven stages of getting over something?
Yeah.
And I haven't done it for a long time, so I won't be able to give you what I used to use, but I must have spoken about maybe a five-step way of getting over a hurdle, when it's being annoyed, thinking of a solution, plotting the solution, working the solution, and then did it work? And then if it did, then you're back on track. But I find that is somewhat similar in nature. Because I don't really talk to anybody about this kind of thing, because I don't, you know, I never really have to. But I suppose if somebody were to quiz and they were to say, you know, how do you not get stressed or whatever, then that's the way that I would probably discuss it.
And I think, yeah, that's what you do with it, I think. And I say, I think it's a massive strength, and it helps you to articulate these things sometimes. And hopefully it's been useful as well for people listening to get some good tips. Because, you know, this isn't just theory to a degree, you know, circles of control, what, everything like that. We all live that. And I think we've all benefited from being very consciously aware of that, certainly over the last two and a half years.
And when you said about that whole review process, there's actually something for that. When you said you've got a problem experience called the Kolb cycle, it is actually a cycle of improvement, and you're doing it like naturally. So it's that whole, you know, you get the experience, there's a problem, you plan it, you do it. What's the results? Does it work? Does it not work? What works? Keep going. So it's that whole cycle. You seem to do it naturally. And that's, it's just something I just referenced there, because it's part of the learning. It's really good.
Absolutely. Before we wrap up, I just want to give a plug to, of course, inspirationnation.org.uk, your one-stop shop for everything inspirational. Full details of the Joe Neuer coaching service on there, which you've seen a small version of that here right now. It is invaluable. Check it out. Plug in your details if you want a free session, see whether you like it. YouTube podcast links, and of course the Inspiration Nation store, where you can get all your fantastic Inspiration Nation merch. Joe is modeling his brand new hoodie is the word I'm looking for, of the same design here I'm wearing. You got, give us a little twirl, Joe. Show us Jose Neuer on the back for those on YouTube.
Can you see that?
There we go. Look at that. Get that over there, as well as mugs. Mug shop for the camera, guys.
I think I've lost mine.
Oh, Ryan.
I don't know where it is.
I might send you one in the post as a treat. And of course,
I'll see if I can find it first.
Inspiration Nation face masks for the face mask generation that we are now. Head over. You can get all of that there. Also, of course, don't forget to follow us on social media at Listen to IN, Listen TOIN, and just search out Joe, Jose Neuer, Inspiration Nation. We thank everyone for downloading us, listening to podcast platforms, watching us on YouTube, of course, joining us on Instagram each and every Tuesday at 8:30. The biggest thing you can do if you want to support the show, though, is tell friends, tell family. If you like this, get them to give it a listen to, see if they like it. Whatever you are listening on right now, this second, just exit the player, hit the review button, leave some kind words, hit that 5-star button. We really, really massively appreciate it. And the last thing I wanted to shout out, there's quite a run of things there. We'll have to condense this down a bit. is we want to run up a new series of interviews. So if you go through the archive, there are various episodes titled Interviews by IN, where we do our interviews. If you are listening now, if you've got an inspirational story, if you want some on-air coaching, if you want to ask us some questions, reach out to us either through the website, through the social media links. Just tell us you'd like to come on the show. Tell us which one of the trio here you would like. There's Joe Neuer. There's Ryan Boniface. There's Lee Kemp. Whoever you would like to be interviewed by. Subtle change in language there, guys. And we'll set it up. We'll do an interview with you. We'd absolutely love to get the nation on the nation.
Love that.
So appreciate it. Right. I think unless there's any final thoughts, guys, I'll wrap us up. Joe, there is quick shout out for thanking people for joining us on the gram.
Yes. Okay. Thank you to Mark Hale. Thank you to Paul Rico, Abby Clark. And thank you to those other people. It fell over and I had to end it and come back in. There were some other people on there as well. I think Chemical Expert was on there as well. He was on there. So, yeah, shout out to you guys who joined. So thank you very much. And before we go, I just need to ask you guys for the three takeaways. So what's your biggest takeaway, guys, from this conversation today? Because there's a lot in there, wasn't there?
Well, sure, Joe, you've been pretty quiet today.
Yeah. Well, I've got a few. I actually wrote down some stuff when you were talking. So I'm going to choose one of these, but I got the reason why it's important to have a place of comfort. Lee was talking about a place of comfort, you know, where you can have that place at the end of the day. We can go back, whatever happens in your day, come back to comfort place. I've got why it's important to focus on
that. I like that stuck.
Yeah, because it's part of that thing, a stressful day and you've got a comfort place. You can go to the end of the day, we like that. Why it's important to focus on aspects you can control, of course. We've had that one before. Important to allocate the appropriate amount of stress to stress levels to events. I thought it was a really good one of Ryan's things. So, you know, what the levels of events are, what the stress is, and why it's important to have a pragmatic view and use it to your advantage. That's I've got four learnings from that myself. But what did you guys take from that?
There isn't much in life worth getting annoyed about for a long period of time.
Nice.
It's a bit wordy.
Don't judge yourself by what others do.
Okay.
I think there's a lot in this. It was a really good, I enjoyed this subject. So thanks for getting involved so much, guys. We're back again next week for another Lee episode. People cannot wait. Drop in on Tuesday across all platforms and, of course, live on Instagram, 8:30 GMT. Just look for Jose Neuer, Inspiration Nation. We'd really appreciate it. Right. I'll give us a countdown and we'll be on our merry ways. 3, 2, 1. Inspiration Nation. Catch you guys later.